Vermont has no coastline, and yet Hurricane Irene is leaving quite a legacy there.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Wind-whipped and waterlogged East Coast residents are slowly starting their work week today and still counting billions of dollars in damage from Hurricane Irene. Water is rising quickly in rivers throughout the Northeast, and flooding is a major concern now, especially in Vermont. That's where Jane Lindholm of Vermont Public Radio is for us this morning with the latest there. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Steve.
So tell us exactly what's going on in Vermont at the moment.
Well, if people went to sleep at all last night, they're waking up in many parts of the state to flooded out roads, flooded buildings and businesses. More than 50,000 people are without power this morning, and more than 260 roads have been affected by flooding. Several bridges and roads have just been completely washed out in the state, and one person died when she was swept away by raging rivers. So a lot going on with flooding in the state today.
I know the hurricane hammered a lot of places along the East Coast. Why did Vermont get hit so hard?
The problem here was flooding, not winds, by and large. Some towns saw as much as 7 inches of rain in a short period of time, and that water just had nowhere to go. The ground was saturated, and rivers just couldn't contain the water, Steve.
Was the state prepared, Jane?
By and large, it was. Vermonters were being warned late last week that the storm could pound the state. But, Steve, I don't think anyone was quite prepared for the volume, the sheer volume of water that rushed through the rivers. Utilities had called in backup crews from as far away as Louisiana, Texas, Illinois. But in some cases, Steve, they can't even get to the people who don't have power because the roads are washed out.
What kind of money are we talking about, Jane? I mean, for insurance and repairs?
Well, it's a little early to say. The governor has said that we're in crisis mode right now. We're not really into assessing the damages. But I can tell you that Vermont experienced some severe flooding earlier this spring, and those damages topped $12 million. And it's safe to say well above that in this case.
All right. Jane Lindholm from Vermont Public Radio. Jane, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Steve.
Well, down I-91, New Yorkers are on the roads and buses and trains again this morning after a weekend of a mass transit shutdown. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith is with us this morning from the Brooklyn Bridge as she watches the morning commute. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning, Steve.
So the subway just reopened, but still many delays. What's the commute like for New Yorkers?
Well, like you said, the subway is reopened, but it's running on a limited basis. And, you know, 4 million people commute on the subway every day, so that is a lot of people trying to work with some limited trains. We have talked to some people who are walking to work this morning because they just didn't want to chance it on the subway. And then, of course, a lot of people commute into New York from places like Connecticut and New Jersey, and a lot of them aren't going to be able to get into work. A lot of those trains are shut down because of mudslides and trees that fell on the tracks and things like that.
Now, Stacey, there wasn't as much damage in New York that some had feared. How are commuters feeling about all the preparation and the hoopla over it?
Well, some people, I think, are glad that we appear to have overprepared. The subways were shut down at noon on Saturday. It felt like a lot of preparation, and it didn't quite feel like it was as bad as we thought. So I think people are grateful, but I also think there was a certain sense of, I won't say disappointment, but of a lot of buildup to not such a bad storm as we'd feared.
And what about people traveling to and from New York, Stacey, airlines and things like that?
Right. Of course, it's the most busy aviation market in the country between Newark and LaGuardia and JFK. Those airports were shut down. They are back up and running, but I'm told with delays. And of course, that's a huge way that a lot of out-of-town travelers get to New York. And of course, a lot of New Yorkers get out of town for business.
Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith joining us from the Brooklyn Bridge. Stacey, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher at the moment. The government said today consumer spending rose in July by 0.8%. There's also word today from the Obama administration that it'll nominate Princeton's Alan Krueger to be the White House's top economic advisor. Wall Street Friday, the Dow tacked on 134 points to close at 11,284.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. and by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Well, a type of genetically modified corn by agricultural and chemical company Monsanto may be developing a resistance to the exact bug it's supposed to resist. New research out of Iowa State University says it raises concerns that biotech crops could spawn superbugs. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Eve Tro.
Western corn rootworms are tough little bugs. Monsanto genetically engineered a type of corn that keeps them at bay. It's worked for more than a decade, so well that some farmers plant it year after year. You're not supposed to do that because it gives the worms time to learn how to survive. The study found that farmers who grew the Monsanto corn 3 years in a row got infested by worms that turned into superbugs.
These types of adaptations could start to reduce yield and start to cause the problems that we were looking to avoid.
Darren Newsom is senior agriculture analyst at DTN. He says corn prices are booming because of more demand to feed animals, to send overseas, and to make ethanol. It's tempting for farmers to stick with corn.
We are seeing more acres put back to back with corn because we simply need the supply of corn year in and year out.
He says any news that could lead to less corn, like a superbug, means prices will likely rise even more. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, Time magazine is known for its annual Person of the Year. Well, now the magazine is out with the title not quite as prestigious, The 10 Creepiest Product Mascots. McDonald's Hamburglar made the list, as did that old Domino's pizza pusher, the Noid. Hey, I sense a trend here. Junk food! There's also Count Chocula and Time's headliner, Burger King's creepy plastic big-headed king. As we reported last week, Burger King got rid of that ad campaign. The king was dethroned, as it were, because customers were a little creeped out by him. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For the U.S. military, gas isn't priced in dollars per gallon, but lives per fuel convoy.
They would commandeer sheep and camels and attach explosives to these animals and then herd the animals in front of our vehicles and blow them up.
I'm Bob Moon. The Pentagon takes up a life and death struggle to go green. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.